Now to the dental profession. Governor Evers signed into law this month legislation authorizing the use of what are called expanded function dental auxiliaries, or EFDAs, in our state. They'd have more training than dental assistants that we'll talk about, opening up the ability to do more procedures, taking some of the pressure off dentists. Clinicians, let's hear from you. 800-642-1234. Conversation on dental patient care. What's happening in your clinic? 800-642-1234. Dr. Patrick Teep is a dentist in Verona, former president of the Wisconsin Dental Association, now chairing its legislative committee. Dr. Teep, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It's great to join you.
Well, good morning. Give us a better idea, a better sense of what EFDAs are, these expanded function dental auxiliaries, and their role in the dental clinic.
Well, you described it at the high level really well there at the beginning. So an EFDA, or an expanded function dental auxiliary, is essentially an experienced dental assistant that in many times is identified by their current employer, their current supervising dentist, as being, you know, above and beyond or exceptionally skilled at what they're doing currently, but yet want to kind of expand their role or become even more highly skilled. And so under the new legislation that Governor Evers signed just a few weeks ago, now there's that opportunity for them to do that. So once we have some accredited training programs in Wisconsin, a dental assistant can be trained in an additional scope of procedures that can kind of extend the dentist's hand, so to speak.
So what might those procedures be? Can you give us some for instances?
Yeah, the most profound, I think, thing that patients would most likely encounter is, so right now, if you have a cavity or have some tooth decay, and you go into the dentist essentially provides 100% of that service in all likelihood, or close to it. The dentist would maybe sit down and would get that tooth numb or give some local anesthetic. Then the dentist would prepare the tooth or remove the decay and get the tooth ready for a filling. And then the dentist would place, finish, and polish that filling. Under the EFDA, once we have those authorized fully in the state, then the dentist would still give the anesthetic. The dentist would or likely would be the one giving the anesthetic. There are some circumstances where the dental hygienist may give the anesthetic, but then the dentist would still remove the decay, prepare the tooth, and then they would bring in their EFDA to place the filling, finish and polish that filling, and then the dentist would come back in, have to check that filling, make sure that it's been done properly, and then the patient would be on their way. So this ultimately can allow the dentist to become more efficient, see more patients, especially in a public health environment where we already have some workforce shortages, and on the private practice side, to be more efficient.
Okay, so suss this out for us. What differentiates then the dental assistant from the dental auxiliary from dental hygienists?
Sure. So a dental hygienist is licensed. There's a different degree program. So in the majority of dental hygienists now graduate from a two-year associate degree program, especially through our technical college system. There are some four-year degree programs, but nonetheless, the hygienist is a licensed, much as the dentist is a licensed individual in Wisconsin. Dental assistants are not required to be licensed in the state of Wisconsin. The new EFDA, which as I described, will have an expanded scope from a dental assistant, but will get trained in a handful of procedures, and then they will be certified, not licensed.
Okay.
So a dental hygienist is generally not trained to do the majority of the procedures that the EFDA will be trained to do. There are a few exceptions to that.
So I looked up the wage data by state, and here in the Midwest, EFDAs, they earn about $40,000 a year, a little less than that. That works out to about $19 an hour. The federal wage estimates from 2021 show that dental hygienists make about double that income. So do you have salary concerns with EFDAs?
No, I don't. And I have to admit, I think those estimates, I think in Wisconsin, because of our workforce shortages, the wages will be more even enhanced for EFDAs, especially by the time we get them going in Wisconsin. But I don't, because what it allows the dentist to do is to be seeing more patients and to be more productive. And in many ways, I think we probably could make an argument that can deliver that same care where the dentist had to provide 100% of that procedure in the past, now the EFTA can. So it can lower the cost of delivering that care, not necessarily the lower end cost, but the lower cost of delivering that. So I don't know that that worries me. We do have a great workforce shortage in Wisconsin, both for dental hygienists and dental assistants. So I have a little worry that if we don't train more dental assistants, we're going to be losing some of the best assistants or most skilled ones to becoming EFTAs. So we do have potential for a greater workforce issue, but I have got great confidence that our Wisconsin Technical College system is going to train more assistants and more EFTAs.
We have dentist Patrick Teep with us on the expanded role of dental assistants on the oral healthcare team. Join in on what you think about auxiliary dental assistants and the dental clinic, 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead with Dr. Teep here on the Ideas Network. Now to the dental profession and a new state law clearing the way for expanded function dental auxiliaries, or EFTAs, who are to be certified by our state's dentistry examining board, helping dentists on more procedures like perhaps taking impressions or applying sealants. Your thoughts on this development in our state's oral health profession, 800-642-1234. Dentist Patrick Teep with the Wisconsin Dental Association stays with us. Let's bring on a caller now. Sean is joining us from Black River Falls. Sean, hi, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hi. Regarding the EFTAs, as they're called, I guess my primary concern is, and having gone to many dentists over the years, both some better and some less, my concern would be having the EFTAs doing the meat of the work, like filling a cavity and then having the dentist come in to inspect it when it's completed. Well, not seeing what's done, having a certified person doing that majority of that work at a sub $20 rate sounds like it benefits the dentist possibly or that industry more than the consumer. So that would be my concern, that the patient is actually getting all of what they're paying for, or if maybe the patients would be seeing a reduced cost in dental procedures, but that's not what it sounded like from the previous comments.
Sean, thank you. Dr. Teep, what is your response there on the economics of this?
Yeah, Sean, I think that's an insightful way to looking at things. And I would look upon it this way. I think where you're touching on is, you know, and I think I commented about this before, is in theory, the cost to deliver that care, you know, should be less over time. I think the one thing that we look upon it isn't looking at, you know, from a revenue perspective, it's looking at providing an opportunity for more patients to get in. Where we anticipate one of the great values of an EFTA down the road. And keep in mind that this is going to be a very slow process. Many dentists will never utilize an EFTA. You know, right now we have zero of these in the state of Wisconsin. And even once we have training programs, we'll be adding just handfuls of these folks into the profession over time. But that said, there are parts of the state where people travel a great distance either to get to dentists or to get to public health facilities. And we have some workforce shortages in those areas. And so there are long wait times. If a dentist is allowed to see more patients, and that's one of the hopes with an EFTA, is that the dentist is spending less time on certain procedures because the EFTA can come in and complete it. And keep in mind, the key here is that the EFTAs have to be well-trained. And this is where the Wisconsin Dental Association has placed great confidence in our technical college programs to do that. And then the dentist is 100% responsible for that procedure and directly supervises. You know, this responsibility falls on the dentist. So they're not going to select someone that they don't have confidence in to place that or to finish that procedure. So we hope, though, that in parts of the state, we can reduce wait times that people have now. And folks that have to wait extended periods and maybe a small cavity that can be taken care of much sooner when it's simpler and cheaper doesn't have to wait longer when it turns out to be a bigger problem and becomes more expensive. So
Dr.
in theory,
I just want to jump in here. Who would pay for the training of the enhanced function dental auxiliaries? Who would be paying to get that certification?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so, you know, right now, we're much like a dental assistant program is, and much like any other student, is they're paying for that. You know, a dental assistant right now that goes, for example, to Madison College in my area, you know, there's a tuition for that. And there eventually will be a tuition for the EFTA programs as well. And so the hope in our conversation with the technical college system now as they're developing a curriculum is that they want to be able to recognize, we want to be able to keep the current dental assistant in their regular job. And so their challenge is identifying a training program where they can work their quote unquote day job and still train, whether that be a combination of online training for maybe the didactic, the bookwork, a combination of in-clinic hands-on training, and possibly even some on-the-job type training, or at least in clinics at those technical colleges that have that ability. So, but there are states that actually have a system where their employer sponsors a particular candidate and can offer, you know, paying their tuition, kind of like a, you know, many companies that have a tuition reimbursement system. I could see something like that happening in Wisconsin. We would have to identify the logistics.
Dr. Teep, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us.
Dr. Patrick Teep is a general dentist in Verona, former president of the Wisconsin Dental Association. Ahead this hour, the closing of Lincoln Hills and what youth justice advocates are saying as a state eyes a Milwaukee location for the next correctional facility. News update is next on the Ideas Network. Now to the Felmers O'Chaney Correctional Center in Milwaukee. Governor Evers earlier this month signed a law to move teen offenders out of Lincoln Hills in the northern part of our state and create a new facility in Milwaukee County. Corrections Department has suggested building the facility where the Cheney Center stands. That's a minimum security adult prison. Your thoughts on this plan, your thoughts on life after Lincoln Hills, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Charlene Moore is co-founder and executive director of Urban Underground, Inc. That's a Milwaukee area nonprofit helping youth develop leadership skills, working for social change. Charlene, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. Well, let's take stock. How do you feel after Governor Evers has signed into law building a new youth prison in Milwaukee County to replace Lincoln Hills?
Yeah, I tell people as an advocate, it's sort of bittersweet. The sweet side is that it's an opportunity for young people to be housed closer to home. You know, the bitter side is that we're spending $40 million on prisons. And typically, you know, we're not the first ones advocating for prisons because there's so many other options that we can provide that have been known to be more effective. But we are happy that Lincoln Hills will be closed and young people will be closer to their homes and their families.
So that location really, truly matters for that family support system. I ran some pulled some numbers for you this morning. I looked at the Corrections Department census. Lincoln Hills currently housing 59 juveniles, Copper Lake for females, 11 inmates. Lincoln Hills' total capacity is 519 youth, according to the Corrections Department. What do those numbers tell you? How do they speak to you?
Yeah, and it's interesting because the numbers have been going in a downwards trend. Mm-hmm. And again, when we resource community to provide opportunities, more opportunities, especially for the most vulnerable and impacted young person, it works. There are programs such as Credible Messenger that takes in adults with lived experiences and mentor a lot of these young people. We need more programs, you know, such as that, but it's a capacity issues. But this trajectory, as far as where the numbers are, it has in the last year or two, I should say, it's been on a downward trend, which is great.
I just, you know, your words in my head, you know, from years ago, you saying large correctional youth facilities don't break the cycle of incarceration. And when I see like Lincoln Hills capacity being over 500 youth, I'm wondering, what do you envision for the rebuilding of a correctional facility for youth? What size do you think it should be in Milwaukee County?
Well, we've always advocated that smaller is better. When young people are warehoused in the number that you just mentioned, what was it, over 500?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The capacity of having over 500. Can you imagine, you know, having 500 young people in a space that have had high trauma, that have been through some really horrific things in their lives, and them not having their needs met? Again, those are outdated models. What we're looking for is spaces that are not built like a prison. It doesn't have barbed wires and, you know, metal doors. Because again, these are young people that we're dealing with. So this is an opportunity. And based on the Department of Corrections renderings, this space looks completely different from where the young people are housed right now. Hmm. Completely different. And they're looking at having about, this is, you know, again, their figures, they're looking at creating a 32-bed facility. Again, we were pleased that the numbers weren't into the hundreds or even over 50.
Let's look at sites. There's been the corrections department floating, having it be where the Cheney Center currently stands and demolishing that minimum security facility. Your organization, other groups opposing this plan. Take us into this tension here about this proposal.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is a very, very bad idea. Wisconsin already has an incarceration issue. We incarcerate the most Black and Brown individuals in the world. And, you know, per capita, the equity, when we talk about individuals going into our prison settings, is out of whack. So, you know, we're one of the highest disparities in the nation. And so, you know, having spaces, particularly for adults to reintegrate back into their community is crucial. We don't have enough of them. And so and what they're looking to do is not necessarily close it down, but what the Department of Corrections plan was to build Lincoln Hills on the site of where Felmer's Cheney's is. Number one, it's not enough land. And they plan on moving those adults into our other prison system. What is it called? Oh my gosh.
That's okay.
It'll come back. Come back to me. MSDF. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The Milwaukee Secure Detention Facility.
I see.
Yes.
So integrating the Cheney Center being really focused on rehabilitation is not something that is unlike a different, is unlike other prison facilities in Wisconsin is what you're saying.
It's correct. It's a minimal. So individual adult men can go out and work. They can save money so that they have a space to live.
Hmm.
There's been very successful as far as individuals that have come out of the Felmer's Cheney because they received a hand up. They received an opportunity again to be in the community and to it's sort of Felmer's Cheney is a pre-release space. So they had the opportunity to have their needs met. And it's just not a good idea to close down something that's working.
Talking with Charlene Moore, who's executive director of Urban Underground in Milwaukee, as we look at the building of a new youth prison in Milwaukee County as Lincoln Hills closes, taking stock of this, 800-642-1234 to join in. Some alternate sites being suggested. State Senator Lena Taylor urging the state to locate the prison at an old DMV emissions testing center. What are your thoughts on that site?
That was one of the original sites that was originally one of the options when the site selection group was looking at a space. And so it's not new. It's just something that we needed to revisit. And so we were the ones that brought it to the attention of Senator Taylor. I have to give credit to Supervisor Shantia Lewis, who brought the option, or it's not Supervisor, Alderwoman, please forgive me, Alderwoman Shantia Lewis, who brought the option that said, hey, you know, just so you know, I shared this as an option, you all should revisit that. So we brought that to the attention of the state to say, hey, this is an opportunity, look in this area. And it's perfect. I don't know how much perfect this location can be. The amount of land, where it's located, it's an absolutely perfect site to put the new youth facility.
Let me ask you this. The state can build this $42 million facility in Milwaukee County as long as it gets the green light from the local leaders, from the municipality leaders. How easy or hard will it be to find consensus to get that green light go ahead?
I don't think it would be difficult at all at this point. There's a lot of the elected officials and the leaders that we've spoken to, they want the best for young people, especially young people that in the state that that we're looking to service their needs in a much different way. These young people, again, have been through so many experiences. And I think individuals overall say, you know what? Yes, I want young people to have a fighting chance. I want them to have the opportunities that they need. So I honestly, based on where this particular location is located, and again, for some of the listeners that may want to Google it, the address is 7930 West Clinton Avenue. It's not a residential area. Again, it makes it ideal, and it's just right off a few blocks off of a bus line. These are just the sort of things that we can get people on board for. So we're excited and looking forward to having this conversation.
Well, it's been a full decade after a county judge raised the alarm in former Governor Walker's administration over dangerous conditions in Lincoln Hills. What has this decade been like for prison reform advocates and people pushing for youth change and social change?
That's a great question. I think for advocates, they know that change is slow, especially here. In the state of Wisconsin, change is slow, especially when we talk about prison reform. There have been several different advocates on the adult side that has been advocating for different changes, have been advocating for, hey, these are better ways that we can spend dollars, right? When we think about the cost of incarceration, as of July of this year, the cost for Lincoln Hills is going to go up to about, and I'm going to give you a daily rate, it's going to go up to about $1,178 a day. And so you multiply that by 365, we're looking at about $430,000 incarcerating one young person. And that's astronomical for us. Again, there are better ways that we can spend dollars, but over the last decade, I think advocates have still been pushing, have still been fighting for change within our legal system.
Sherilyn, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Sherilyn Moore is co-founder and executive director of Urban Underground, Inc. in Milwaukee. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.